The last Sabbath, we looked at personal goals for 2009. Remember, we talked about seven questions we could ask and how we could improve personally and individually, setting our goals for 2009. And we talked about having SMART goals. Remember, to really accomplish goals and to move forward, that we need to have an action plan. So what I'd like to do today, in this Sabbath, is talk about congregational goals. Last Sabbath, it was encouraging each of us not to just move on into another year and same old, but raise our standards and begin to set goals and really have an action plan to accomplish those goals as individuals. And many of you are doing that, and thank you for that. And as we look at what's going on in the world, I do watch the news regularly. I keep up with those things. You see what's happening in the Middle East. You see the war going on between Israel and Hamas and Gaza, the Gaza Strip there. The battle that continually goes on, no, hasn't been settled yet. So fully aware of those things that are building there. We all continually read here on the news, reading the newspaper. Nobody yet knows for sure where we are economically. We're hearing from the president-to-be all kinds of plans that hopefully will begin to revive things. Those are the hopes, but all we can do is wait and see. Economic news, there's still a lot of bad news out there. And God is in charge of all of that. I pray about those things, but I can't change them. I can't, right now, go over to the Middle East and bring peace. Only God can do that. I can't fix our nation's economy. I can do my part in my own life. So I can't do anything about those things, and neither can you personally and individually, except take it to God and pray and add your heartfelt prayers for His intervention in those things, for His will to be done. But what we can do, is that we can do our part as individuals and as a congregation. And we have a wonderful congregation here. I love this, you brethren, this congregation. You're God's people. You're faithful. You're loving. You have many wonderful and good qualities. But as we all know, just like I know there's room for growth in me, and I know you feel the same way, we can grow as a congregation. So what I would like to do today, I'm only going to keep it to three congregational goals. And these are not just my goals that I've come up with. I've gone back and reviewed the congregational action plan that we developed years ago. I've looked at my notes, my conversations with people, my meetings. These are truly goals that you and this congregation felt from our many meetings when we were developing. You know, we originally thought, well, we'll call it our strategic plan, but that was kind of too businesslike. So we just decided to call it our congregational action plan, things that we want to grow in and accomplish and do better as a congregation, you know, as a group of people working together, a team. And so that's what we're going to talk about. How can we do that? Now, you might remember, and I'm not going to get too technical on these things as far as planning goes, but I think most of you are aware that if you're, even as an individual, or as a company or an organization or a church or whatever, when you're doing any kind of planning, first of all, they say you need a vision. And here is the vision that we came up with a congregation. It's still every Sabbath, it's reprinted in our bulletin that is handed out. It's in today's. It's on the back page right at the very top. And here's what it says. Our vision is eternal life in the family of God and serving with Christ as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. That's the vision statement we came up with as a congregation. The next thing that an individual would want to develop, who is trying to be focused and really move forward, is they would have a mission statement under the vision. That's the overall big vision that you have. And ours is the kingdom of God, isn't it? Our mission and calling as a congregation of the body of Christ is to love God with all of our hearts, souls, and minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love one another as Christ has loved us. You remember that? In the many, many meetings we had developing that? So what I'd like to do today, under the vision statement and the mission statement, give you the next thing that comes. They're called objectives. Most people would just say my goals, but actually goals are more specific things you do to accomplish an objective that you have. And so I have three objectives today to present to you as a congregation and ask you to participate in. We're already doing many of these things, but my message today is to encourage all of us to work together even more effectively as a team of one heart, one soul, one mind, and one spirit to grow in these three important areas. And we'll see that they are very, very biblical. To me, these are the three most important objectives that any congregation could have. First one, and we'll see if you agree. But again, this comes from much of our past meetings and discussions we've had. It's been a while. But here's the first one that we wanted to do. Growing in our love for God and improving in our worship of Him. You remember that? We even talked about how do we grow in love for God? How do you do that? And how do we as a congregation actually become a congregation that inspires us in our worship of God? And if people are visiting or are new, they're awed by the fervency and the zeal and the singing and the spirit of the congregation. You and I know that a congregation can be on fire or it can be a lukewarm congregation. Bible in Revelation 2 and 3 even talks about some of Church of God congregations that were spiritually dead, Jesus said. Alive physically, but spiritually dead. So let's look at this one. At least for me as an individual, personally, and as a pastor of a wonderful congregation of brethren, the thing that I would want more than anything else for us to be known as, a thing that I would first of all want to be known as a minister, and my wife and I, we're a team, we work together, we always have. I would number one want to be known as a minister and a congregation that loves God with her whole heart and soul and mind. They're passionate about God and their love for God. Never wanted to be lukewarm. If any of you just wanted to be, oh, it's okay. Let's go to Matthew 22, not Luke, Matthew 22. And let's take a look at this well-known scripture, Matthew chapter 22. How do we continue to grow even as the years roll by? How do we continue? How can we as a congregation, and this is my focus today, continue to grow in our love for God? Matthew 22, beginning in verse 36. And this is where it says it was a lawyer asking him a question, testing him. And he said, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, and this always impressed me, is that Jesus didn't say, "Well, let me think about that a moment. There are an awful lot of laws in the Old Testament. There are a lot of Ten Commandments or statutes or judgments, an awful lot of them there. Give me time to think about that, and I'll get back to you." He came right out. And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And what does that mean? You might remember what that means. You know the word love here is not eros love, not sexual romantic love. It's not Philadelphia love. It's not a brotherly love. It's an agape love. It's a deeper love. It's a deeper thing, much deeper than even human love. It's a love that is enduring and never fails. It is faithful, it is strong, it is not fearful. You know, it's an amazing quality, the love that Jesus spoke of here. It's a word that was used in the New Testament, agape love, meaning a godly love. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And it always helps me to think, what does heart mean? And the Greek word there is cardia, meaning cardiac. You know, this is not new information. I occasionally review this, but I stop and think, there is a difference between the heart and the mind, and it's right here in this verse. Both words are used. When it's talking about cardia, it is emphasizing the emotions and the feelings and the passion that we can have as human beings. We're to love God passionately, with feeling and with emotion. You can get excited about it. And you shall love God with all your soul. The Greek word is psuche. We're very familiar with that. And what that means, it means with your strength and your energy, with your whole life. You serve God with your might and strength and your energy, with your life that God gives you. And with your mind, dianoia is the Greek word. And there, that Greek word means you serve God with understanding, with intelligence, with the intellect that he's given us. So there's a lot of growing and learning to do. You know, we all, depending on various things in our lives, sometimes we've been shut down emotionally, haven't we? And maybe we're afraid to be passionate and expressive about God without going into, that was me. That was me at a point in my life because of the circumstances of my upbringing as a child in an alcoholic family. It pretty much shut me down emotionally, and I became an extreme loner growing up. And it was God who began to change that in my life. And so I was not demonstrative in that way emotionally at all. So there's a lot of learning and growing and healing that is necessary. And so this thing of growing in your love for God, you see, it's a lifetime endeavor. You can't say, well, I know God. I love God. It's that healing of the heart and coming to know God as a loving father and his son, Jesus Christ, as a loving elderly brother. And that's a relationship we have to continually work on, isn't it, brethren? As a congregation, now I'm not speaking now just that, but each of us, see, every one of you sitting here today, as you know, we all bring something to the congregation, or we take something away. If we're a shut down, negative individual with a negative attitude, what do? You're going to be affecting somebody in the congregation in that way. That's okay. If you're here, we'll get to that a congregation can be a support system to help people. But this first goal I'm bringing out is, for me, from what I see, I would rather have a congregation have more of than anything else, as a congregation that loves God with their whole heart, their whole soul, life, energy, and their whole mind, passionately, all of those things. And this is the first and the great commandment. So there is nothing more important that a congregation can reflect to each other and in the community. Nothing more important than that. Congregation is amazing. Those people really love God. We heard a wonderful sermonette today on a subject that fits right in with my message today. Let's go to John chapter 4. And, you know, I just want to thank and praise you as a congregation. Leanne and I are, you know, extremely happy to be here with you and a part of you, because you are loving and caring people. I just want us to keep growing in this area. Notice John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Again, I think well-known verses. Says, Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Spirit. You know, you talk about my spirit, your spirit. You know, you think about a person's spirit. It's what kind of a spirit do we radiate? What kind of a personality, what kind of an effect do we have? We worship God from inside, don't we? From our spirit. spirit, in a sense, is just who we really are. And we want to worship God from our heart and our mind and with our spirit. It says, for true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And truth, just thy word is truth, God's way, according to his word and his law, his commandments. All right, so that's a congregational goal. I want to keep that up there as number one and hope you do as well. I hope you have a goal this coming year as an individual, as a part of the congregation, by your example and your personality, and it's something you pray about. God, when I come to church, help me to help make this congregation just filled with love for you. How can we, just a few little goals now to talk about, and maybe you can think about it, talk about it with each other and others. First of all, let's come to services with joy. With joy. More joy. Shouldn't we come to church because we love to be here? And we come to be together because we love one another? We'll get to that a little later on. We should come with joy, with happiness. You might say, well, maybe I've had a bad day and a bad week. Yeah, we all have that, don't we? And there are times we don't feel good. I mean, you know, we all know that. We have these various things in our mind. But you know, when we get ready to come to church, especially when you miss it, like we have a couple of weeks, and you may say, God, help me to not take the brethren for granted and my congregation for granted. When I come to joy, I come to church, I, you know, give me your love and help me to radiate joy. Just one scripture I want to read here. Turn to Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. We know the Psalms is filled with psalms of praise and worship of God. I just wanted to read one here. Psalm 5, verse 11. And this is a psalm of David. And he said, let those who rejoice let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, or sing for joy, the NIV says, because you defend them or protect them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. And so we know that one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, the second fruit, is joy. I'd like to radiate more joy in my life. I think overall I try to be a positive person, but I hope I've learned to radiate more joy. I hope we all want to do that for each other. Despite the stresses that we're under, the struggles and the pressures we're under, the problems that we're under, we as a congregation want to be a joyful congregation and say, God, help us to rejoice and be joyful. So that's one thing let's work on together, helping one another to do that. Another area that, you know, we can improve on as a congregation and growing in our love for God and in our worship of him, would be in our conduct and our dress. Our conduct, maybe we could ask, how do we present ourselves before God as a congregation? What if we all came in blue jeans and tennis shoes and t-shirts? Some people do. It just happened. You know, I know that some things are not important to other congregations, and they have different ways of looking at things, as we heard in the sermonette. And sometimes, the approach. And if somebody is brand new, hey, you know, United has an open door. Anybody can visit us, doesn't matter, as long as they're not a danger to the congregation or someone, people are welcome. They can walk in and attend services, and we're not going to stop them at the door. So you can't come in. You don't have a tie or a coat, or you've just got blue jeans and dirty tennis shoes on. Wouldn't do that, because they don't know. They don't understand. But see, I do, and you do. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So what we can as a congregation, each of us, strive to do. You know, the principle is this, as we look at the scripture, Romans 12, 1. When we come to church, we're coming before God. You're not coming before me. I like what Tim said, standing up here. If you don't look up to me, I won't look down on you. You're not coming here to look up to me. You're not coming. You are coming here to honor God, to keep His Sabbath, to obey Him, to show your love and respect to God by meeting according to His word and instructions in Scripture. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. We know that. That's one of the reasons. And we just love to be together. But we also come to honor and obey and worship God as a congregation. Hopefully we all do it at home privately. I do, and I hope you do. But we also want to worship God together. The Bible is filled with that as well. Here in Romans 12, 1, Paul wrote to the brethren, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of God's mercy, NIV says, I beseech you, in view of God's mercy, that you present or offer your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, or as NIV says again, your spiritual service. So when we come to church, you don't think, well, it doesn't matter what I wear to church. I can wear anything I want to. Not me. Boy, if I felt that I was coming into the presence of God, and I believe that when we have a church service, He's here with us. We ask for that. We pray for that. That His Spirit is here with us. And so all I'm saying here is that one of the ways that we can grow and improve as a congregation is the way we present ourselves to God, in the way that we conduct ourselves, and in the way we dress when we come before God to worship Him. Remember, it's Him that we want to please, not one another. It's God that we want to please. And I'm aware of the saying, some say, just come as you are, it doesn't matter how you dress. It maybe doesn't when you're ignorant and you don't understand those things, but if you read your Bible, it does make a difference to God, that we come with holiness, especially in heart and mind and attitude, but we also show our love and respect for God by the quality and the way we present ourselves to Him, our bodies as well. So we can grow, we can help one another grow in those areas so that we're honoring God and paying our respects to Him. And in that sense, everything we do is showing our worship of God, just like the priests and those who would come before God. You know, there were certain things they had to do to cleanse themselves, and certain dress that they would have, and to do it properly according to, it just showed that God, we love and fear in a sense of respect and love and honor you. We have a love and a respect for you. I wouldn't go to Washington, D.C. if I were invited to come to Washington and I was going to be introduced to the President of the United States. There are a few who've shown up, I guess, with flip-flops and things like that. But it's a total lack of respect, isn't it? It's what it is. I would dress up and try to show my respect for the office. So we can do that. Another way that we can keep growing and helping one another in this area is in our conversation and our singing and our special music. That's an obvious one, isn't it? I think overall in United, I think we have a lot to learn and still have a lot of growing to do in this area of understanding how special music was in the Bible and how it was used and the way it's going to be used. When I think it'll play a much greater role in the worship of God in His kingdom. I think we can prove that from Scripture. We've have a very conservative heritage and background, and I'm not saying that we go toward Pentecostalism. I grew up with that, and I'm very uncomfortable with Pentecostalism. And you know, I don't need to discuss that. It's another whole issue. But what I'm saying is that in our conversation, you know, sometimes I might just have to remind you. I notice how difficult it is sometimes for our song leaders to stand up and get a start to the service. They'll say, brethren, would you begin to take your seats? We want to begin services. We want to begin to worship and honor God in 60 seconds or 2 or 3 minutes. And he gets up here and begins songs, and people are still talking, yakking away. The noise is so loud. That's not honoring and respecting God. It's wonderful. Don't stop the fellowship and the talking. But when you hear the song leader, try to get your attention. You know, you might have to say, hey, he's trying to get us to calm down. It would be wonderful to be able to begin the service in an orderly way, wouldn't it? Rather than a chaotic way of people still running around. So it's something we can work on. That's all I'm bringing to your attention as a reminder. I need to make sure I'm doing it. You need to make sure you're doing it. Say, we're here. And when our song leader gets up there and tells us it's time to start services, let's remember how important that is. We can finish our talk after church. So our conversation and what we talk about needs to be pleasing to God. Making sure when we sing, you know, our song leaders do a good job overall. And they know, and I know, you know, we can always improve and grow, all of us in those areas. But to just be enthusiastic and heartfelt in our singing. And some of you, you know, we've got some wonderful people doing special music. Maybe there are more of you who really are talented and can contribute more and can enhance our church services, can just use your God-given gifts and abilities to add to this service. Now, don't hide your talents under a bushel. When the time is right, think about it. Maybe I'm not using this gift that God has given me to help in some way in the worship service of our congregation. Let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, first of all. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It certainly applies at all times, and certainly when we're together on God's holy Sabbath day, but it's where Paul wrote, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification," or building people up, "that it may impart grace to the hearers." It'd be great to be able to say that. I do that all the time, every day. I never say anything wrong or bad or slip, but I can't say that. But certainly when we're together at church, we know Isaiah, where it talks about, you know, how to respect the Sabbath and keep it holy and watch what we talk about. And I think mostly overall you do a good job, brethren. I'm just bringing out here in my mind and in my heart what I want to work on and grow on more than anything else in my life this coming year, with God's help and with focus and planning and prayer and maybe occasionally fasting. Ask God to help me improve and increase as a member of this congregation and as your pastor, that we become more loving and expressive of our God rather than the other way. We just kind of settled into a dull, boring routine in our singing. You know, let's not let that happen. Let's, you know, and many of you, you're doing good. It's chapter 5, Ephesians 5, 19. Just this one verse I'll bring out where Paul is writing to them and he's saying, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, it's got to come from the heart before it can come out the mouth, doesn't it? But encouraging one another and speaking and singing. And, you know, when I hear somebody behind me or back of the room or over here just pouring out their heart in the song service, that inspires me. It makes me say, Denny, you know, you need to really focus on the words of that song and praise God, and worship God. So thank you, brethren, for helping us work together. As objective number one is growing in our love for God and improving in our worship of Him. And doing so, I was just bringing out these goals underneath. You know, there's got to be specific and measurable. You can make a decision. I'm going to pray more for the joy of God's Holy Spirit so that when I come to church, it just may be that you frown. Leanne and I were looking at Channel 5, 7 o'clock. What's the program? Evening Magazine, you know, and when he just isn't, his mouth happens to have a little frown on it when he's just normal. When he smiles, he's got a great big upper thing. But some people don't maybe have a natural smile. But I'll tell you, a smile and expressing joy is tremendous rather than coming feeling down and sad and discouraged. But sometimes when that happens, some of you who really said, God, give me joy and help me spread it around today. Help me to radiate joy. So we can do that. We can all examine our conversation and our conduct and the way we dress for God and present ourselves to God. And we can all strive harder to be better in our music and everything we do there. Let's move on to objective number two. Objective number two. And again, I will start off saying that many of you, I think, are doing a good job on this objective, and I want to grow more in it, and I hope you do too. And to me, the second most important thing that any congregation can have and do is loving one another deeply and fervently, you know, following Christ's instruction and example. That is, when brethren love one another passionately and deeply and care for one another and look out for one another and keep track of one another and check on one another and are working on that, it's such an awesome thing. Let's see that Jesus emphasized this. John chapter 13, Gospel of John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35, I've always been impressed by what he said here. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, and the new part is, as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So it's critically important, isn't it? You know, just to like one another is not enough. You might say, well, I like you. This again is talking about it's a Christian, it's not Philadelphia love, that's important. That's a brotherly love, that's a very important love. But the love he's speaking of here is a deeper love. It's a love for everybody, no matter how ugly they are. And I use that just to, you know what I'm saying, I hope. We all have spots and blemishes and imperfections in our life. We all have maybe at times a little personality or an approach or something that may bug somebody or rub them the wrong way. We don't necessarily all just click as personalities. But this kind of love that God is talking about, the love of God, is you love everybody. You love every single person in this congregation with the love of God. You want what's best for them. You want them to be happy. You want them to be in God's kingdom. And you love them enough that you'll be willing to do anything to help them get there. That's the kind of love that it's talking about. Whether or not you can be good friends or not. That's an amazing thing when you think about it, isn't it? That God calls us together as a spiritual family. And a lot of us would have nothing to do with one another if we were in the world. But God chooses his family, and he brings congregations together so that we can learn to really, truly, deeply love one another and lay down our lives for one another and serve one another and do good to one another. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Here's a wonderful scripture on it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. You know, so we'll see how we can begin to just do better and apply this in our lives, working better to get to know one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we each have a responsibility. This is a good way to stir something up. Stir up love and good works by doing it ourselves and setting the example, speaking good of other people, and praying for others, supporting others. And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So if there's one thing we all need regularly is encouragement, isn't there? It's something we need continually, lots of encouragement. And we can give it to each other on the Sabbath and during the week, pick up the phone. So let me run down a few things that I hope that we can continue to work on. Again, many of you, and I say this, and you know who you are, many of you have been doing these things for many years, and you've been faithful, and I want to thank you for that. But let's keep on going, all right? Let's keep on doing it. Let's not say, well, my time has come to back off and do less and less. Stay involved. Here are some of the goals under that objective of learning to love one another more deeply and fervently, growing in our love for one another. And remember, it won't happen unless we want it to and go to God to ask for more of His love. That's the number one thing I pray for more than anything else. I want more faith. I want more wisdom. I want more of a lot of those qualities. But the number one thing I do pray for is, God, help me to learn to love you more with all my heart, soul, and mind. And please help me, Father, to learn to love my brethren, your people. Help me to grow in that love. So here's what we can continue to do better on. Honoring and serving our senior citizens. How many of you ever take time to write or drop a line or make a call? I mean, once a month even. You know, pure religion and undefiled is to visit the widows in their affliction. You can make a phone call, you can send an email if they get those. But to know who our most senior citizens and members are, whose health is failing, whose years and months, you know, are running out as far as their time with us in the congregation. I can do better. And in goals, we need a plan of action. Leanne and I have kind of been talking about that. Working on those goals together of doing better in these areas of visits and calls and reaching out. God puts a special emphasis on our seniors, doesn't He, to honor them and show love and respect toward them. And getting to know our youth. We have a wonderful congregation in that we have a little bit of, we have it all. We're very blessed. We're not just an elderly congregation, or maybe we got all mainly young people. We're blessed to have everything and in between. We're getting to know our youth and encouraging them, you know, taking the time, all of us working together, making that one of our goals under the objective of loving one another more this coming year. A goal would be to get to know all the youth in our congregation, talk to the parents, and just meet the youth, say hi, encourage them on the Sabbath. They're a part of our church. We love them, we need them, we want them, from the babies all the way up to every age group. What a blessing it is to have youth in our congregation. Remembering those who are single in our congregation. Wonderful, wonderful group of people. I remember when Marla Prouty was here, you know Marla, of course, and she was always wanting us to have more activities for the singles, but one of the things I remember that she said is that every family should adopt a single. And remember them and bring them into potlucks and family activities, not just other married couples and all, but remember the singles in our congregation. They have much, they give much, and they have much to offer and contribute in our congregation. We are a family. We need each other. Let's not leave anyone out. Remembering those who are sick and disabled. How many of you remember regularly Douglas Knott? I mean, I mention him occasionally. He can't hook up here. We don't have a hookup, but when we're back in our regular hall, you know, Doug is always hooked up on our website and listening in. He can't come to church anymore. He's paraplegic. How many of you remember, wow, what if I were in Doug's situation? Can't feed myself, can't go anywhere, can't do anything without a nurse doing it for me. but his mind is normal. Wow. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if I could do it. But he's just one. What about others in our congregation who are battling cancer? Marge Chagno, sitting here. You know, she's here. She's here at church. She's battling cancer. Margaret Schwartz. I mean, these you know, many of you are examples to me in different ways. But I'll tell you, some of these old timers who come to church battling cancer with pain and difficulties, and Margaret up in her 90s, and she could be home. She could just say, I just can't come anymore. I'm too old and feeble. I just don't feel good. But she's here. These are inspiring examples. God says there's, you could mention others. I could go on. We've got other wonderful senior citizens sitting here. And watch, I'll get in trouble. I need to get a list of all of them, and at different times I will. But let's keep doing it. Let's keep working together, and that you are a loving, caring congregation. Let's work together to make sure we're doing our best to love those who need us, and maybe who are at times lonely and just needing more encouragement because of a sickness or a disability that they may have. And then, you know, loving one another more deeply. I think that you are a congregation that, you know, we're going to be planning for this coming summer here for our congregation in Seattle. It's called a Focused Education Seminar. We have a team in the ministry in the United Church of God, and we're going to be presenting special seminars on understanding and helping people who struggle with homosexuality. And I'll be handling that one. And Carl Anderson is here today. He probably and Mr. Glenn White will be asking to have a presentation and discussion on understanding alcoholism and helping people who struggle with alcoholism and addiction. Mr. Seforek will be dealing with various other kinds of abuse that happens in life and how to deal with that in your own life and help others. And these are very, very important areas. And my point here is that growing in love is a lot more than just saying, well, I love you. You know, it's loving all of the people that God is calling and all of the people with needs and all, no matter what their problem is. And Lawrence Merritt stood up, you read quite a list there of problems that biblical people have had, haven't they? And how God has worked in their lives. I want to thank you all for being a congregation who isn't judgmental and critical and condemning. Sin is sin. We know that. We're not a congregation who wants to tolerate somebody just living an intentional, rebellious attitude of sin. No, that wouldn't be right and good. But we need to be, if somebody is just struggling with a problem and a sin, and they don't want it and they don't like it, they need this congregation. They need love. They need support as a person, not the sin. But they need to know we love you. And with God's help and our support, you can overcome anything in time with help. So I want to thank you all for helping anyone with any problem and being there for people and growing as a congregation so that someone that maybe is in our congregation struggling with something that they just don't want to share with too many people. Maybe you're a little bit afraid that if somebody really knew what their burden or struggle was in life, that all of a sudden that'd be the last time they would talk with them. I know there are a few who have expressed that. And I've assured them, I don't know anybody who would be judgmental and condemning of you because they know you and love you. And so loving one another more deeply and fervently, there's always something new to learn about whatever disorder, dysfunction, problem anyone may have, and the people that God is calling. We should be a congregation of healers that God could call any sinner with any problem, and we could love that person, we could hate the sin, but love that person and begin to give them the support and help that they need to realize I can heal here, and I can grow and overcome. So just want to let us work together. And objective number two of continuing to love one another more deeply and fervently as a congregation, so that God can bless us with growth, with new people when they come in and when that time is right, and that they'll find a congregation that they want to remain a part of. That's not, a lot of new growth isn't necessarily happening right now. It'll happen in God's own time. I don't know when that is. And maybe he's just waiting for us as a congregation and as a church to get to that point where he can really begin to bring more of that growth into us. I hope that's it. I hope he's looking down, engaging our personal growth spiritually and our growth as a congregation. And maybe there'll come a time when he'll say, I can begin to add people now, brand new people who've never been a part of the church before, with all of their difficulties and challenges and problems, and I can bring them into that congregation, and they're going to get the love and the support and help they need. So that's objective number two. God first, loving one another passionately and fervently, regardless of our problems. And then finally, the third one, this third objective, I won't take as long as this on this one. It's important, though, and that's loving our neighbor more. And by our neighbor here, I mean by those not in the church, those not a part of the church. Loving our neighbor more by developing our outreach programs to the community and improving our support of preaching the gospel to the world. This is important as well, isn't it? We don't want to be known. I don't want to be known as a pastor or a congregation is that we're only focused on ourselves. It's important to focus on these things we've been talking about last Sabbath and today, because they're important to God. But we don't want to only be working on these things only to help one another. We also want to be growing as a congregation so that we then can be more effective in letting our light shine as a congregation in the community. And I admit that I've got a long ways to go in this area and a lot to learn and more to do. And encouraging, and some of you I know individually and personally have been involved in schools and community things, and you personally, you do a wonderful job. You're very involved in your neighborhood and in your community. You're outstanding. I know some of you, and I know you are. You're really good at that. You let your light shine, and you do get involved in community and neighborhood things and service. That's important. But what about us as a congregation doing it together? We need to do more. And I'd like to see us, you know, this year, and we just had a meeting today before services with a few of us. We're going to revive our media planning, or our, we might be better call our outreach program meetings. And we're open to ideas. We've got a meeting after church today, a LifeNets meeting along that line. But let's be thinking as a congregation and praying as a congregation. You know, there are endless needs out in the society. We know that. You could get swallowed up with all the needs. So we need to ask God to guide us on how we can use our love and gifts as a congregation to help the community in which we live. We can't help everybody. We're not that huge of a congregation. And so there may be certain things we can do to give outwardly in our community. And we're talking about that now. We're open to ideas from many of you. So think congregationally. What are some of the things that we could do occasionally as a congregation that is focused outward in the community, service project or giving money or clothing or needs? We've already had one request as far as the flooding goes on here. Bob passed one on to me, and we have to look at, you know, when someone says to the congregation, would your congregation take up a collection to help people in this flood who don't have any insurance, flood insurance, and have lost everything? Wow, I mean, that's a pretty big request, because how many people would that be? And who do you help and who do you not help? And there are just a lot of things to learn in this area and to handle it wisely. And the way God would have us. But it is very important. And Christ said it was very important. I won't turn to any scriptures in this one, but we know that he said the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And you remember he also said to let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. So we as a congregation need to have good works, don't we? That people say, oh, you're that weird group that meets on Saturday or believes in this or that. You know, it's, you know, people say, oh, you're that warm, loving church that does this. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. So let's, with God's guidance and help this year, we'll be talking more about maybe we can make a step or two in 2009. I've been very pleased with our growth in loving God and our growth in loving one another. And I would like to see this coming year, with God's blessing and guidance and input from any of you, how we can do better in this third objective of making a difference in our community and doing our part in helping to preach the gospel to the world. So give some thought and prayer to that. And so thank you for your attention today. Those are the three objectives. If you would at least remember those, if you didn't write them down, it should be very easy to remember. Congregational goals, let's grow in our love for God and improve in our worship of Him, every aspect of the church service. Let's love one another more fervently and deeply, no matter who we are, what problems we may have. Let's have that godly love. And let's grow and improve in loving our neighbor and reaching out into the community and sharing the wonderful, precious truth of God that He has given us.